Well, we just heard in this passage about a great deception that happened to God's people. Deception is everywhere. Deception is something that we have to learn about and be aware of. This morning when I woke up, I got an alert that my television account had been hacked by someone in Jakarta. And I don't like that, so... You know, I don't want them to mess around with my settings and things, and they were basically stealing television, I assume. Anyway, I had to block the person, and I had to reset some things with that account. But they were doing deception. They pretended to be me, and they found my password, or somehow they got in, and they hacked into the account. Had a conversation with someone online recently, pretending to be a sweet and dear member of this church. The IP address was from Nigeria, with which they logged in. And they were talking to me, and I could tell it was one of these people that was just trying to get me to give account information so that they could take money from me. These things happen, okay? As the conversation was going on, I took a note from my friend Al. Warren, where are you, Al? He just read. Al said, when these people call him, or when they mess with him online, he wastes their time just to have fun with them so that they can't hurt other people. So I decided to do that. Okay? Now, the picture was this sweet, dear member of our church here at Windsor Baptist Church. But the login happened in Nigeria. And the person, this sweet old person, said, hit me up on text when you get into town. And I said, this isn't her. But I was having some interaction with this person, and I said, they said, hey, did you get your prize money? And I said, oh, yeah, I got it. How much did you get? I'm not going to say on here, but it was huge, I said. So I was having a little fun with the person, printed it out here. They said, hey, make sure you invest it wisely. I have an agent that can help you with that. You give them your account information, and they'll really help you out with that. And I said, tell me where you are. I'll buy coffee, and we can talk about it more. And this person said, should I share the contact information with you? And I said, how do you do it? And he said, do you want the contact information? And I said, how do you live with yourself trying to steal money from people like this? And then I quoted Acts. Chapter 3, verse 19, repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out. Well, it got serious. And this person said, I am not stealing. Get that through your thick, big brain. I'm thankful for my thick, big brain. You know, and this person said, I am trying to help you. I quoted Revelation 21:8, and the person got off. By the way, here's an application for us at this point in the sermon. Some of our older members of our church need help with security settings when they're on social media. And some of you that are teenagers, 20-somethings, can help them. They bring their phone to you or their tablet. You help them, okay? I want you young people to help them. If anyone needs help with that, bring your device here to the church and let the young people help you to help you with your security settings, to be safe. We need wisdom to protect us from such deception. These deceptions are in the world and all around us. You know, when I was growing up, if someone acted like they were a family member or a church member to me, I would have felt like I need to trust this person and give them some money. It still happens with people today, but you have to grow sort of savvy. You have to learn that many people are out to actually trick you, to lie to you, and to deceive you. And so you have to learn that these things happen, and you have to learn how to not be deceived. We need wisdom so that we will not be deceived. In our passage today, I want us to see three things. We want to see the danger of deception, the protection of wisdom, and how to get wisdom. Pretty simple. We live in a land of deceivers, meaning this world, and only wisdom will protect us from harm. Now, as we look at Joshua, we're going to see this big deception that the Gibeonites performed, that they accomplished with Israel. But there's a backdrop, there's a context, and we see that in the first two verses. We read that in the first two verses that as soon as the kings heard this, they gathered together to fight against Joshua and Israel. Now, something is very different in this narrative. In the book of Joshua, something is very different. Up until now, none of these kings had banded together. Back in chapter 5, we read that when the news came about what Israel was doing and Yahweh, the God of Israel, was doing, their hearts melted and there was no strength left in them. Now they heard something different. Now something is different and they're banding together. They're teaming up. Well, the big question for us should be this. When we look at verse 1 and 2, we should say, what has changed? Why is it different now than it was before? I think it comes down to this. The people that were on the defense when God's people were coming into this land, they grew bold. Now, why did they grow bold? Because they looked at what happened at Ai. Ai was a small city, but Ai, if I could put it this way, were able to punch Israel in the mouth. And they saw they can bleed. And when you see that there's weakness like that, then you feel emboldened and you can attack. Ai fell, but they put up a good fight. Ai was pretty small. And if you're one of these kings for one of these cities, you're thinking, if they could do it, and they're just Ai, we're bigger than them, and if we team up, we have a good shot. So they grow bold. Well, again, I want to ask us this. What really changed in this whole narrative? What caused this different response to Israel? Well, the thing behind what happened at Ai was sin. And we've heard about that. We've read about that. Achan, one of God's people, when he disobeyed God and he stole for himself and he took these treasures and he hid them for himself, it brought sin. That sin brought damage to God's people. It weakened them, and God punished them for that sin. One person among this whole group sinned, and it brought disgrace and death to God's people. Now the talk became, they can be beaten, so let's team up against them. One man, Achan, his sin rippled out and had an incredible effect. The sin from within God's people made their enemies more bold and more confident to fight against them. And there's a lesson for us in this. The lesson is this. Did you ever wonder how much effect one sin can have? Did you ever wonder how much effect one sin can have? When one Christian sins, it hurts the whole church. When one family member sins, it hurts the whole family. You can probably think of some examples. One foolish thing spoken, one outburst of anger, one giving in to temptation in one individual can hurt a whole family. One vice in one individual can wreak so much damage in a family, in a community. This is what happened there. Did you ever wonder this? If you have something in mind, did you ever wonder this? What would it have been like if fill in the blank had never sinned? Think about the relationships that wouldn't have been torn apart. Think about the loss that wouldn't have been incurred. Think about the damage that would not have been done. The pain that would not have to be borne. Whole families might have been saved from immense pain and shame. Whole churches, whole communities might have been preserved from evil and pain. One sin, Achan, emboldened the enemies of God's people. It happens the same way with the church. Do you know that when the sin from within the church gets out and the knowledge of that gets out, the world around us rejoices? The battle that we face is not against flesh and blood. And in that battle, the people around look and they say, Look at them. Look at them. They're hypocrites. And they're emboldened to attack. They're emboldened to oppose. Well, this is the context of what happens here with this deception. Verses 3 through 27 is the Gibeonite deception. And we've heard some previews of it from Al and from Jim. Gibeon was a great city. We'll hear that. We'll read about that in chapter 10. But Gibeon was not far from where these things were happening. Gibeon, by my account, looking at the maps, it was about 20 miles from Jericho. It's about 8 miles from Ai. Close enough to see the smoke. Close enough to know in the neighborhood what was happening. And they were there in the hill country. And they had a crisis. So they came up with a sneaky plan. It was designed to deceive. It was designed to trick. They had a plan, and it comes from within the leadership of these people in Gibeon. This is the dialogue as it went. I'm going to paraphrase to kind of cover this story. They talked to each other, and they said, look, we'll go to them with old, worn-out clothing and dry bread, dried-out, cracked wineskins. We will tell them that we came from a very far country. That's what we say. So this group of them goes to them. And you can sort of picture them in a huddle saying, all right, everyone got the plan. We will ask for an agreement with them by flattering them about their God. Okay? So we go there and we say, we fear your God. He's the God. And we want to make a treaty with you. We'll take a posture of putting ourselves below them. But remember to always say, we're from very far away. So you can imagine, in my mind, I'm imagining one of the men saying, should we mention Jericho and Ai? And the leader says, no, don't talk about that. That just happened this past week. Remember, we've been on a long road trip. We have to act like we only know the old news. So only talk about Egypt. That word has spread throughout. Talk about Og and Sihon. That stuff happened long enough ago. And it fits with our story. Remember, we only have the old newspapers. We don't have the recent editions. Because we've been on what? A long journey. We're from very far away. So verse 6, they come to them and they say, we've come from a distant country. Now make a covenant with us. Now, the covenant that they were asking for, the Gibeonites, were saying something where they were saying, we want to have a deal with you. We will be below you in an agreement. You know the Rosetta Stone? If you go down to the Penn Museum, you can see a replica of it. The Rosetta Stone was an agreement that they were asking for. When there was a great king or a great kingdom, the great king was sort of the big brother. And the great king would say to the little brother, I will take care of you. You will pay me tribute. And this will be our agreement. I will protect you. I'll be the big brother. You'll be the little brother. Gibeon was coming to Israel and saying, we want an agreement like that. You'll be the big brother. We'll be the little brother. We're here to serve. We're your servants. And they thought, if we take that posture, they'll buy it. And it worked. Now, they didn't just buy it right away. The leaders of Israel asked, well, wait a second, guys. Maybe you live among us. How can we make a covenant with you? Now, it's interesting that twice they're asked about that, and these guys from Gibeon stick to their story, and it works. They don't ever answer where they come from. They don't say where they're from. They start with flattery. They say, we don't know where you came from. And they say, hey, we're your servants. We're your servants. And so it kind of deflects the whole question. Joshua gets to the point. Joshua says, who are you and where do you come from? Now, he sort of wanted to pin them down, but it didn't work. He should have said, listen, we're not going anywhere until you answer these questions clearly. But it didn't happen that way. When he says, who are you and where do you come from? They don't answer. They say, we're from a very distant country, very far away. Look at what we have. And we came because of the name of the Lord your God. We fear him greatly. We heard about what happened. We heard about Yahweh. What he did to Egypt and Sihon and Og. So they stick with their narrative, okay? Even though it's false. Even though they were lying. And then they said, this is what our elders said to us. They said, go, make a covenant with these people. Take provisions. Here's fresh bread. Take brand new clothing. And go. So they say to Joshua and the leaders, they say, let's make a covenant. And then they say, here, look, even look in our bag. Look at this bread. And they open up their bag and it's croutons and breadcrumbs. And they said, this was fresh, you know. These were like fresh, good rolls, hot out of the oven when we left. But look at them now. It's breadcrumbs. And they looked like that. And the wineskins were dried and cracked. And the leaders looked at those wineskins. And they looked at their clothes that were dirty and worn out. And they looked at their sandals that were worn thin. And they believed them. And they said, all this stuff was brand new when we left our country, which is really far away. And that's when it happened. That's when Israel fell into deception. And it says in verse 14, and this is the big verse that just screams at us. So Joshua took some of the provisions, but did not ask counsel from the Lord. He did not inquire of the Lord. They, the leaders, did not inquire of the Lord. The deception worked. Israel needed wisdom from God, but without it, they fell into deception. Friends, here's our first lesson for us. We must inquire of the Lord. If you're trying to live your life by your wisdom, it's not enough. If you're trying to live your life saying, when there's a big thing, I'm going to pray about it and I'm going to search the scriptures, but most of these things, I got it. Okay, I can handle it. You'll fall into the same kinds of deceptions. And there are deceptions all over. There are deceptions for people that want to get your account information. There are deceptions of people that are deceiving themselves and being deceived in spiritual things that would mislead you to the detriment of your soul forever. The challenge is to be awakened from this, and we must inquire of the Lord if we will not be deceived. Don't handle it on your own. You see, the thing is, you don't see what God sees. He has a perspective that is bigger. He knows all things. He has the long-term view. He knows what will happen. What we need is that we need to inquire of the Lord. Let me tell you just initially, very briefly, what He has given us is He has given us His Word, and He has given us the opportunity, if we believe in Christ, that we can pray to Him, and He'll hear us, and He'll guide us. Well, Joshua should have prayed. The leaders, the elders, should have prayed. They should have remembered what the Scriptures say. The leaders' lack of wisdom, being wise in their own eyes, had long-term consequences now because they were deceived. And friends, it will be the same with you. You know, you might think that you can handle the little things, and God will handle the things whenever you need His help. It doesn't really work that way. We have to inquire of the Lord all the time. You know, we will often read with young people, and young people will memorize these verses. In fact, I didn't plan it, but on the front of our bulletin it says, trust in the Lord, Proverbs 3:5. You see that? Proverbs 3, let me say it for us, verses 5, 6, and 7. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Okay? It doesn't say with part of your heart. It says with all your heart. And lean not, so you're not relying on, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, the little things and the big things. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Verse 7 says, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Well, what's happening? You see, whenever the Gibeonites came to Joshua and the elders, they knew their Bible. You know that in Deuteronomy, the people of Israel were allowed to make such a covenant with people that were from a faraway land. They were not allowed to make this kind of a covenant with the people that lived there. Now, Israel didn't sin morally. They didn't knowingly go against God's word. They thought they knew what they were doing, and they thought they were in line with God's word. But they didn't. And they didn't inquire of the Lord, and because it was a lack of wisdom that caused them to stumble, it was a lack of wisdom that caused them to fall into this deception, they were stuck. We need God's wisdom all the time in every way. In those Proverbs that we read, you know, you can see some things on there. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now, sometimes I shared this video with some of my boys the other day. There's this video when in Star Wars, okay? And young Anakin Skywalker, who'd be, you know, good guy turns bad guy. But when he was a child and he was being brought into this order, trying to be made a Jedi, he's on his home planet. And another Jedi that's older than him, played by Liam Neeson, they're running across the desert to this airplane or ship, spaceship, I should say. And you might remember the scene. While they're running, this Sith warrior, Sith Maul, is flying behind them. Now, Liam Neeson turns around, and he sees this little boy, and this thing is one of those things that flies just like a few, it's like the floating thing, and he's got his lightsaber, which is kind of like, it's a cool thing with two ends, and he is about to just mow down this little boy, okay? While he's coming at him from behind, young Anakin gets tired, and he says, I'm tired, can you wait up for me? Liam Neeson's character looks back, and he says, And the boy can't see what's coming behind him, but the older Jedi can. And he says, Anakin, drop. Now, in that second, many of our children, many of us, would say, why? Why? Okay? And then we would get mowed down. It's an amazing scene because in the movie, this little boy, he looks like he's maybe 7 years old, the Jedi says, Anakin, drop. And the boy just goes, whoo. It's like this Jedi responses, you know. And it's like he has that, it's in him. He's going to be a good soul. He's going to be a good fighter. So he says, Anakin, drop. Boom. And the thing goes, whoo, right past him. What do we do, friends, when God's command to us is clear, but we don't understand why? What do we do? This is the test of if we really trust in the Lord. If God's word is clear and you know the right thing, but you have a different idea or a different perspective, or it doesn't make sense to you, God knows. You see, we're down here in the mix. God is above it. God sees it all. And he says, this is the way you should go. If we trust in the Lord with all our heart and we don't lean on our own understanding, that is wisdom. That is wisdom. That, in that, what we're doing is, you see, if wisdom is seeing from a high enough height, we can maybe get ourselves up here like this by learning about people that want to hack into social media accounts. We can learn about things by trial and error. And we can try to have wisdom that we put together ourselves. But when we trust in the Lord, it's like a little child being put on the shoulders of a giant. And all of a sudden, he's guiding us. And he's showing us where to go. And he's making our path straight. What we need is wisdom to protect us from deception. In that passage, it also says, be not wise in your own eyes. Be not wise in your own eyes. If Anakin had said, but I don't want to drop down, I'm almost at the ship, doesn't make sense to me. You know, what we do is different things, okay? We might have the wisdom of the world in different ways. If we do that, we will suffer for it. If we deliberately disobey God because we think we know better, this is what it's called in the Bible, being wise in your own eyes. This is the way I explained it to the children earlier this year. I think I might have shared this in here, but I had, and if you're bold enough, take one of your hands and curl it in so it makes like a straw, okay? And now look through with one of your eyes and close the other eye. Some of you were brave enough to do this with me, okay? Now, this is seeing a little bit, okay? You're looking through a straw. Now, as you grow and as you understand more things, open your fingers, but leave your index and thumb together, okay? You see how you can see more? And you can see a wider perspective? Okay, good. Now, Let's say you grow a little more and you understand a little more. Now take the whole thing away and keep your one eye shut. You could see even more. Now open the other eye. And you could see a lot more. Can you see behind you? Can you see what's behind that wall? Anna could drop. God does. God can see it right now. God doesn't just see the physical things around us. Friends, when the word of God says, be not wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. You know, we have a God that sees it all and he's good. And he said, look, this is the way you should go. Walk in that way. What as a Christian we should do is walk by faith. What Joshua and the Israelites did was this. They were walking by sight. They looked at the bread crumbs. They looked at the worn out clothing and sandals and wineskins. And they heard the story and they bought it. And they had the consequences. There is deception, and it's the Lord that will protect us from that deception. True wisdom is fearing the Lord. Now, they made an agreement. I want to get to that in a minute. But here's the thing. We want to zoom out. The biggest problem that we have with deception is this. That there is deception in this world everywhere we go. Because there is a deceiver in this world. The great deceiver of this world is Satan. Let me read something about him. From the book of Revelation, he's called that great dragon, that ancient serpent. This is Revelation 12, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world, the deceiver of the whole world. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, we read this. That there will be teachers, there will be evil people and imposters who will go on in this world from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You see, there is deception in this world, and the most critical deception about which we must be aware is spiritual. It's the deception about what is real and what is not. Let me tell you one of Satan's deceptions, okay? It's telling you, this is wisdom. Satan would tell you, be wise in your own eyes. Okay? Here is one way. I saw this, I see this a lot, actually. I see this as sort of a theme in our culture right now. Something that you'll hear all over the place is, you need to be exactly who you want to be. Be exactly who you want to be, and don't let anyone tell you different. Have you heard that? I mean, it comes out in different ways. I saw it in a quote on a bunch of things at Starbucks yesterday. Be exactly who you are. And the question is, though, teenagers have always asked this question. Who am I? You know, you're figuring it out. You know, I mean, it's a question that never really leaves us. The question is, but who really am I? If the deceiver tells you, be who you are and who you want to be, then you're going to have to think, well, I have to be who I am, and I have to decide who I am right away, and I have to be that boldly. And then everyone has to accept it and not tell me any differently. You know who tells us who we are? The one who made us. Because he knows us. Anything else is a deception. We can deceive ourselves. We can be deceived. God makes us uniquely and wonderfully. And don't get me wrong, every person is incredibly valuable, more valuable than all the things in the world. Every individual in this world. And I don't care, you know, how deeply someone is in sin or in being away from God, they will receive love from God through people who are obedient to God in Christ. And that's God's design, is to show that love to every person. So don't get me wrong on that point. This is the big problem. It's the deception of Satan over all people. He is deceiving. He is creating this thinking where people don't trust in the Lord, but they're wise in their own eyes. If Satan can get you to be wise in your own eyes for a lifetime, he's got you. And that's a terrible trap. Israel needed wisdom from God. Well, how can people get this wisdom? Satan deceived people. It started in the garden. What happened was Adam and Eve were given commands. In fact, Adam was given the command directly. And we read that Eve was deceived. She says that word. She says, "The serpent deceived me. He tricked me." She was mystified by it. Adam was not. But guess what happened? Adam fell in line with what he knew directly from God was wrong, and he sinned. And when God curses them, he speaks to Adam first, and he says, he speaks to Adam last. He addresses Adam first when he questions him, and then he curses him. And he says, Adam, and think about this, the way God curses him. He says, "Because you listened to the voice of your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you shall not eat it. Cursed is the ground because of you." Now, what happened there? Adam became wise in his own eyes. The word of God was clear to him. It was clear and understandable. And he turned away from it. He was deceived. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Al Manger quoted this in our Sunday school this morning. It says that Christ became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. In Colossians 2:3, it says, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." That's Christ. You will never know true wisdom until you know Christ. That's the point. How has God revealed himself and his wisdom? Most fully in Christ who was crucified. That's why it says at the end of 1 Corinthians, we preach Christ crucified. And he's talking about wisdom. He's saying, who has real wisdom? In 1 Corinthians 1, he says, these people think they have it, these people think they have it, but it's foolishness to this world. But this is true wisdom, Jesus Christ crucified. In knowing him, you will know true wisdom. About 2,000 years ago, Jesus was crucified. What happened was he was taken outside the city of Jerusalem, and he was with two other men. And the other men were there. And they had been wise in their own eyes. And by the one's own testimony, he said, "We are here because we deserve it. We're getting what we deserve." He knew it. They made their way crooked, and it became torturous to them, and they were getting justice for it. But as Jesus was on the cross with them, one of their hearts changed. I want you to think about this. Two guys who had been wise in their own eyes, but one of them changed. The Gibeonites, they were cursed because they had been wise in their own eyes and they deceived. They had come from sin. They gave a false profession of faith and they joined in with the people of God in a covenant. God punished them for that. They were cursed. But God even showed them redemption as it went. On those crosses, when those other two men were there, one never had a change of heart. He continued to be wise in his own eyes. But the other one, who was literally with Jesus, being crucified, looked at him and said, "Will you have mercy on me?" And when he did that, Jesus promised him, I mean, this guy didn't earn anything. But Jesus said, "Listen, I tell you the truth. This day, this is the day they're going to die. And they're going to see what's on the other side of when your heart stops beating." Jesus said to that guy, "Listen, I'm telling you the truth right now. Today, you will be with me in paradise." And what happened with that man? He had been deceived and he had been a deceiver. And he was being wise in his own eyes. And he was dying on the cross. But when he saw Christ crucified and he turned to him for mercy, the veil was lifted. The deception went away from him, and he could see Jesus as his Savior, and he was welcomed by him. and given a sure guarantee that he would be with him in paradise. I want to shorten this, so we're not going to go into the Gibeonites. We could talk about it later if you want, but they were cursed. Some of them became a mighty man of David. Where they lived, there was a massive cistern that was uncovered. They haven't excavated the whole place yet, but they found jars with the title Gibeon on them. Some became false prophets from Gibeon. You can read about that in the book of Jeremiah. But some became believers, and they were close to the worship of God. And there's no way that Israel would allow idolatry right there. But let's apply this. First, as we said, we must be people who inquire of the Lord, which means that we need God's word in our lives. We need to hear it. We need to read it. We need to pray it. Do not be unaware of the devil's schemes. The big one is he wants you to be wise in your own eyes by telling you, focus on preserving the things that you have. Focus on your looks. Focus on this and that. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Be aware of his schemes. Third is this. Trust in the Lord like that thief on the cross did. But as a believer, if you're a Christian, trust in the Lord with your every decision. If you know what is the right thing to do, but you don't understand why, I want you to be like Anakin and just obey. Without seeing why, without knowing what's coming, just obey. And then fourthly, I want us to apply it in this way. Return to the Lord. For as much as you have been wise in your own eyes, for as much as you have not trusted in the Lord, but have leaned on your own understanding, return again to him. You can guarantee, you can be sure that Joshua and the elders, after they didn't inquire of the Lord and they found out 3 days later, that they went back and they said, God, what should we do now? And they didn't sin by making another thing worse, because they had sworn in the name of the Lord to make this covenant. And God showed them the way forward, even though it was hard on them, even though it added a burden to them. This is what you can do, friends. As much as you have been wise in your own eyes, you can return to the Lord because his grace is plentiful and his mercy is new every morning. You need to humble yourself. You need to submit to him all the time. It happened with Israel that God continued to restore them. God continued, even he showed grace and mercy to the Gibeonites for generations. Do you know the Gibeonites were listed among those that returned with Nehemiah, and they were rebuilding the wall, a section of the wall? And it's the same for us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us for our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's an amazing thing. The consequences of sin through deception are real. And I think that all of us probably have stories of how we have felt it, maybe from a parent or a sibling or our own lives. The mercy of God is greater still. And he can take such a mess and he can make our lives useful still. He is a God that redeems and restores even the years that the locusts have eaten. So, trust in the Lord with all your heart. In Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, in him, in trusting him and following him according to his word, there is safety from deception. Let's pray together.